Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women Oral History. This is Betty Kerr interviewing Mr. Sam Berman on November 2nd, 1988.
All right, what do you want to know?
Mr. Berman, when the second part of the first take was finished, you were in the middle of telling us the rest of the story. Can you just continue telling us where you left off?
I don't even remember where I left off. This is the road.
About Empire. You were telling us the story as to how you were involved in this.
Yeah, Imran and I was the first man in the city of Pittsburgh who listened to him, and he went out to comfort any people I knew. I went over to see, and I sold them on Paul shares. I mean, with my help. Well, he was a personality. Dickenstein was a personality. You know, he was a student somewhere in Europe. Then he came and he was a member of a kibbutz. And they drafted them, the Istadur drafted them to give up the kibbutz and go to the United States and create Ampal in order to have sources of money in order to be able to create transportation of all kind of goods that was necessary in Israel. He created a lot of things, and then he went in a few ships business, you know. Right now I lost a little bit of track of it. Then they sent another man, he wasn't as good as him, but I didn't have any more time to give him, because if I was 40 miles away, it wasn't too handy. So but the first steps in Don Paul, I would say, then I'm the one who was the first seed to the Jews in Pittsburgh, as far as Don Paul was concerned. When I came in Israel, you know, I saw what's his name, you know, he told them, fellas, you know, they had a big office already, you know. He told them I was the first man, you know. I extended them a friendly, but he was a great personality. But he died.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about Golda Meir. You were very friendly with her.
Golda Meir. We knew Golda Meir come around here to work for Labor Zionism and for the Istadut before she became unofficial, you know. And after every meeting, we used to have a party in somebody's house, you know, used to get together. And there was a Chabad Beskin who had a big house, and it was well-to-do. So we always went there with Goldie, you know, and Goldie was talking to us. So we knew Goldie very well. But after the man who promised $100,000, he was no slash. He was a single fella, a very, very rich man. And then there's a kibbutz in Israel. Then his sister, she had a chain store of shoes. She built that, I forgot the name of the kibbutz. See, when you're in the kibbutz, you know, you see in Lebanon from there. I forgot the name of the kibbutz, you know. We were there, and there's a picture of her, the one who gave the money. This was his sister, Mrs. Khan. Now they built a hotel there. A lot of people come there and rest. When they came around, there was nothing around it. There wasn't a place there to drink. So they put up a kiosk. Now, if anybody comes around, in the distance, there is water there. But this lady from Pittsburgh, her name was Khan. She's the one who done it, and she was a sister to, what's his name? I just told his name.
It's not Mr. Bick.
Khan. Mr. Khan, you said?
Mrs. Khan.
See, I'm...
The man from...
Braisley.
Oh. How do you spell
it?
B-R?
That's the Braisley, now.
Okay.
You know, he was a old bachelor, and he lived in the outskirts of Pittsburgh on a farm. He was a very peculiar individual, you know. You know, an old bachelor is worse than an old mate, they say. And he was considered one of the best lawyers in the city of Pittsburgh. So we handled them. Then we became good friends. I got some more papers. Anyhow, I tried my best. This is the best investment I made in my life, is when I was active, as far as Israel is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Only that is. Well, anyhow, Yosef Baratz came. You know, Yosef Baratz was the first one who created first kibbutz Dgania.
Mm-hmm.
And he came from the same village that my wife was raised.
Where was that?
In Europe, in Podolia Gubernia, in a little town called Kisnitsa.
Mm.
And my wife's family name is Kisnitsa too, just
mm-hmm.
the same as the one.
Mm.
It was right on the shores of the Dniester, on the other side from where we lived, you know. So we became friends, and we had a meeting. That time we tried to unite the Tzirut Zion with the Poel Zion. So we had a meeting in, I think, in Cleveland. And then we were riding back, and we stopped in Youngstown. And Yosef Baratz came around to talk to him on behalf of the Statute campaign. So he was talking, and I was sitting in the front line. So he stands up and he says to me, "Get out of here, get in the back." Because he knew he was a farmer, they taught him what to say. And he
mm-hmm.
knew only one song. He was ashamed. He was ashamed to talk in the front of me. I had to get out. So we traveled together, and we became good friends. Then I started talking to him, and he told me his family, he had a hand in my hometown, you know. Mm-hmm. All that. And yeah, Yosef Baratz was a tremendous personality. You know, he didn't have no education. But in Europe, the Yaka, you know, there used to be a colonization who was teaching Jewish boys how to be farmers. And he was going to that school.
Mm-hmm.
Was in the home, in the town where I came from, the Pitomnik, you know. And there was the leader, the agronome for Ettinger was his name, Akiv Ettinger. Then he left our home, army went to Israel, and he was in the Jewish National Fund. He was leading in agriculture, Ettinger, Akiv Ettinger. And when he came one time to Pittsburgh many years ago, I went over to him and I said, "My home from Soroki." I says, my grandfather was a friend of yours.
Hmm.
My grandfather was working for a big farm, 2,500 acres. And he knew him, so I talked to him. Well, anyhow, this is all right now, you know, a mishmash, you know, if I bring him back memories. Well, anyhow, I'll tell you only one thing. Me and my wife contribute as much as we could. Beside money, and his money didn't have many times. So when he came around to sell down power shares, so he had a friend by name Schwartz, Morris Schwartz. I got him interested. So we end up to Paul. So he says to me, "Why don't you buy 100 shares?" Right now, he says, "I don't have any money." He says, "I'll give you $500 so you buy." So I bought it and I paid him back later because, you know, I didn't have any capital, you know. Well, anyhow, he did this way, we worked. You know, the wasn't so easy. It was a different kind of people. It's not so easy to work with Jewish people, you know.
Sure.
Everybody thinks he knows better. And
I can understand. Mr. Berman, tell me, we didn't talk about this at all, but how were you influenced as far as the Depression?
Tough. Well, thanks God, we weren't on the welfare.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
We weren't on the welfare.
Oh.
You know, that time they built a college.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the carpenters went to work there. I didn't go there. Mm-hmm. I managed because I know I had I was recommended from people to learn. We had a Haver from the Poel Zion who was a very fine man. His name was Harry Morgan. He had a clothing store on Fifth Avenue. So when I didn't have nothing to, so I used to love there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. One time I was sitting with him and I says, "Look, Harry, see these shells what you got? Nobody sees your clothes. If you let me remodel me in these cases for you, it'll be visible." A couple days later I come back, he says, "Come on, repeat what you told me." I says, "I want to put in for you little lights concealed. They should shine on the suits so people could see the difference in colors. This way it's there, cause they don't see nothing." He says, "All right, do it for me." So I came there and I remodeled it for him, and I remodeled his cases for him. And we became the best of friends. And he died very young. And there, You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, he was such a good friend of mine that it was our job somewhere in a little town, Koroyapolis, and I wanted to get introduced. So he ran after the man for two blocks to say a good word for me. This is the kind of hover he was. Mm-hmm. And go, you know, every morning, for the sake of Mary.
So during the Depression, you were all right because you
kept managed. Going I used to get jobs, you know, all right. So then I got acquainted with this Mr. Rosenstein, and we became partners, and we are still good friends. Right now he's disabled, and he's 93 years old. Well, anyway, you kept all good friends. A man called me this morning, 8:30, because I wasn't to the meeting, because there was a loan there to be made. And he says you weren't there. And he called here, I called him, we couldn't get together. And he was worried the whole night why I wasn't with other sick, you know. So we have good friends. I mean, some of them are not living anymore.
Yeah.
In the same times, there's a lot of people, they are jealous or not jealous. You know, conflicts, you know, the, what we survive.
Yeah. Going back to the Hebrew free loan, I know a little bit about it, and I know it has grown and grown and grown over the years. But is it very large today? Would you say it's a very big organization that they loan
We got about 30, 40 members.
Oh, that's great.
Every Tuesday night we have a meeting. There's always 3-4 committees. There's 3 people per committee.
That's great.
Now this is going to be taken off for the boy. He was there. Well, anyhow.
Are there women involved in this too?
We had one of the finest social worker women in the city of Pittsburgh was a member of the Hebrew Free Loan. What was her name?
Oh, yes, I know her. Knew her. So you do have a very, very active organization.
The best thing I appreciate is social workers because I am already there 43 or 44 years.
That's a long
time. This Mr. Kel picked me and he says, we got to have you there. You have to be there. So I'm there. Well, I had some complications too, but it was straightened out. Now we have already children and grandchildren of the originator. You know, it's going to be 100 years old in May or something. It's going to be a celebration.
That's really wonderful.
But it's a very fine Jewish, very fine Jewish thing. Mills Chesed is one of the biggest mitzvahs in the world. If you could help out somebody, you know.
Could you tell any stories about people that you have helped by giving them loans and have become very successful because of the loans?
Yeah. There's a fellow here, and he's a very charitable man, and he's now all over. So one of our members meets him on the street, and he says to him, come on with me, let's have a cup of coffee. He says, I can't go with you right now because I'm serving today in the Hebrew Free Loan and I have to be there.
Mm.
He says, Hebrew Free Loan? Do you know that my father came here from Cleveland and he was broke and he needed a few $100s and the Hebrew Free Loan borrowed us that money and we started up in business. Now they got one of the biggest record business in the country. They just sold us for millions of dollars.
Mm.
All of a sudden, from nowhere, we got a check for $1,000 from the Shapiro family for recognition. Then they came from Cleveland, broke.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a member of our group. He's a very fine young man. If you want to get some information, if you're interested in the Hebrew Free Loan, you could make arrangements and pick up 2-3 people to meet with you. And they'll give you a picture of one of the finest institutions of the city.
Mm. That's wonderful. Oh, I've heard quite a bit about it, and that's why I ask you. But in other words, there are a lot of good stories connected with the Hebrew Free Loan. As far as the State of Israel, you have told us a couple different stories, but you're very interested in State of Israel, and you work with them in different ways. Is there any story in particular that you think is very interesting that you could tell us as far as you working with the State of Israel?
Well, I could tell you a lot of things. I'll tell you one thing.
Anything recently?
Well, lately, our movement, all the older Chabayim died out. There's only 4 or 5 of us left.
Mm-hmm.
We are the one who created that house, and we kept all this together. And the Pioneer Women are the only one. We have a majority now. And they're all younger ones, the old ladies and everybody, you know, they live in. Right now we got a big problem. You know, the building what we have there is bought right. And it's fixed up and it's very nice, you know. But if any one of, there's only four or five of us, I couldn't get them together to decide what to do, mm-hmm. you know. Now this is, I don't think you need it.
What, before the state of Israel came into being, were you very involved?
Mm-hmm.
And that, we'd love to hear some of your stories about that.
What? Repeat it.
Before the state of Israel
yeah.
became into being, you must have been very involved.
I've been involved all my life. But when I was 11 years old, I was in Europe and I was going around with Karen Kayeva's box. Mm-hmm. You know, so I had a preparation from Europe, and then I wanted to go to Israel. I told you, and I couldn't get in. And then I came here and I felt that I have to do something. Then I didn't go to Israel. By the way, Mr. Baratz, and Gani Olive, the first colony in Gani Olive. You know, the other one, Gani Olive is the biggest in the old colony in Israel. Well, you didn't know.
No.
Well, and he was the originator. He told me to come and be welcome there. I wasn't even married yet.
Hmm.
I didn't want to go off and do my decisions without any means, you know. So, so I refused. But he wanted me to go and join Cameron. He says, we'll take you in and you're going to do all, you know, necessary. But I wasn't ready to go. But I could tell you only one thing, anything that I done in Israel.
You mean he wanted you to work in
Israel? He wanted
Israel?
Me to come and became a member of the kibbutz.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see.
He says, we need you there. Because, you know, I was a carpenter and I knew a lot of things about agriculture because we had a farm in Europe and I was working on the farm on our own,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I knew all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked to me and we understood each other, you know. And he told me, come to us, you'll be a full-fledged member if you want to come.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take in the kibbutz anybody, but he was very influential. The Mrs. Roosevelt was in Israel. She slept in his, he slept in the barn, and she slept in his bed in kibbutz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mrs. Roosevelt was there.
That's
it's history. It's all Jewish history. They were very simple people. Right now it's entirely different. Later on, some attorneys were interested. They were very, very few. Ben Gurion came to Pittsburgh dressed up in a suit from Borlap. And he was supposed to go and see Charlie Rosenblum, who was the richest man and among the richest Jews in Pittsburgh. And at 10 o'clock at night, Mr. Morgan went to the Pennsylvania Trade to meet him. And he said, look at him. He's dressed up in a Borlap sack.
Hmm.
He says, 10 o'clock at night, he woke up his tailor and opened up this shop and he put him on a suit of clothes in order to, in the morning to go and meet Charlie Rosenblum. this was the pioneers, you know, this is, you know.
They really helped each other, didn't they?
What do you mean? Like, there were people here and there were old people, Zion and Zirazin, really doing a lot of things. You ever been in Israel?
Once.
Well, there's a Beth Emelian. You know Beth Emelian in Israel?
Yes.
Well, Beth Emelian, people there.
Mm-hmm.
Next door is another place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Emelian had a chance to go in business with a man who went in the radio business. I forgot his name. You know, he was in New York, you know. So he gave up and he became the secretary of the Pearl of Zion. Emelian was a real pioneer.
Mm.
And we met him in Israel. When I came to see him, he was in a hospital. What was the name of the hospital? Anyhow, it was an hospital, a big hospital. And he was laying there, and he was so heartbroken there and see him. Well, anyhow, we had our grief with him, but he was a real idealist, you know, very fine. So they built a house on the Beit Emelian for him. You know the big house that belongs to the Starut in Israel and Tel Aviv?
No.
And then you don't know. But anyhow,
yeah.
We are. They were older than me, and I was the youngest of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And they all were, the Pearl of Zion were a lot older. You know, there were some, all these conversations, but it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
There was no complaints.
That's wonderful. Are you very involved in the synagogue that you belong to here
yeah,
in Pittsburgh?
Soon my son, Etta became Bar Mitzvah, and then we got married. I became a member of the Bnei Amenu synagogue. It was a small synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And thereby my son became Bar Mitzvah.
Are you still a member of
No, and I belong to the Young People Synagogue in the Hebrew Institute.
Oh.
We have more scientists in that shul than all the rest of the shuls in town.
What is the name of it? Young?
Young People Synagogue.
I didn't know there was. It's
very,
synagogue.
Very fine people there.
Young
very fine people.
Synagogue.
You know, Mr. Bloom was the editor of the...
Yes, Jewish Chronicle.
No, he belongs to our shul. You know, last night they honored them, you know. You know, the group honored them.
Uh-huh.
They had a dinner last night in the Hebrew Institute. And they showed. He was there, he looks bad. You know what happened to him?
No.
You know, he's got a son in Israel. And he was on a bus.
Oh, I saw that.
This and that. A lot of problems.
Oh, that's a shame. Is this synagogue right in with the Hebrew Institute in the same building?
No, we rent from the Hebrew Institute.
Oh, I see.
In the, where the shul is, and all the first floor, was donated by our Chavar, who was the president of the Statut campaign, and his name was Burke, Walter Burke. And Walter Burke, you know, was a labor Zionist all his life, but then he became rich, you know. And
you could go on and on and on. You're so interesting. You have so many stories.
I'm getting a little bit tired.
All right, yeah. Then why don't we stop?
Yeah.
And I was going to say, if you would like us to, we will come.